think this thing's working, but this, sometimes you get these nice things, they're too complicated. You get a manual with them, you know, which that's no fun.
Then the kids at work say, oh, you just push this button, push that button, push that button. You're good.
Card full. No. Card can't be full. Huh? Yeah, you might know. Okay. This thing must really use the bytes, because it's already says the card's already full, so must be like professional.
Yeah.
Must be really high res. So that's okay. We got Old Faithful here. A little simple
one.
Can
you get that working?
It's all right.
Use all the bytes up.
Okay, go ahead.
Ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Is it recording?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if it is or not. It's 22 minutes flashing. C22 flashing.
Okay, well, I've got one page left that of the notes that I took, and it's always good to talk about the main points again so that if we can remember at least some threads of truth, we can take that with us. And the prime directive to me is where we begin, because it's where we struggle the most. And it's not that we don't understand the words, it's how do you apply the truth every day in your life. So if a God within you, your Father, which art in heaven, this Father that's in this hallowed place, this tabernacle, which when I got the revelation of chapter 22 in John's book of Revelation, I realized it was saying the same thing as Jesus said when he said, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And here I'm at the end of Revelation, with that, at the time I was studying eschatology, and we were believing in preterism and amillennialism, and I mean we were studying pre-trib and post-trib, and then Malcolm Smith taught amillennialism, then I got into preterism, and there were pre-preterists and full preterists, and I'm telling you, it was just, we were all over the place looking at this. And then it hit me, I'm at the end of the book of Revelation, and it's something Jesus said was already upon them before he ever atoned for us. He was standing there and said, behold, the kingdom of God has come upon you right now. Well, he must have been saying something to them that was to express that truth.
Wow.
He had to say something right then to tell them what this was that was coming upon them. And what is it? It's the righteous judgment of God. Now, you are never going to experience this righteous judgment if you don't see it in your neighbor. I don't care what they're doing. Doesn't matter what your neighbor's doing. Doesn't matter what any person's doing that you're with. It doesn't matter what they're doing. If you judge them in anything other than righteous judgment, you are just as guilty as they are at what they're doing. You become partakers with them in their dilemma. You become part of it. Don't sit there and tell me you don't. I'm telling you, you do. You judge them and become part of this world and their world. Can you see beyond this earthly realm? Can you see beyond it? Can we see? Can we see all the people in with equity? Can we see all the people in loving kindness? Well, the spirit within you sees that. And it doesn't matter what they're doing or what they're involved in. This is your salvation for every situation. It applies to every situation. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Judging in righteousness is seeing through the appearances. That's why Jesus said, I won't judge by what I see or hear. Seeing through the appearances. And what did he say? The only people that he got after were the ones that judged everybody. Those are the people he got after, was the attorneys and the people who thought they knew something. People who got up and gave long speeches about what they knew. Now, everybody wants to talk about what they know. Well, I love Einstein. He says, how long does it take for a man to realize he doesn't know anything? How long is it going to take you? Well, we don't start to know anything until we learn to withdraw from the operation of this mind, your world. So the next thing we talked about was overcoming that world. And when we get together in July, we're going to talk about the end of that world for everyone. I'm going to walk you through it. I've heard it. I'm seeing it. And I wish I could share more of with you today, but I actually just started hearing it 2 days ago, what really the end of the world was, the true end of the world. But overcoming the world is withdrawing from the judgment of the world and judging the world in righteousness, which is in line with your spirit within. It's in line with that. So you can't accuse your brother of anything. How can you overcome the world if you're accusing them in this world of appearances? Can we see them as the Father sees them? And in loving kindness, entreat them just as the Father sees them. Are we going to observe people? Are we going to talk about what they do? And then say, you know, we're in agreement with that. We're not in agreement with that. You know, I mean, it can be difficult, you know, especially when you run a business. You know, you've got to talk about things, you know. But what about more personal things? What about like with my brothers? You know, with my brother Mark, who he's the orneriest one of the three of us, okay? And he and I love each other more than the rest of us. But there's something about when he and I get together, the sparks fly, but it's all good. You know, we come right back and love each other. Because we sort of walk in forgiveness with each other. But he doesn't, when I talk to him about God loves him, he thinks God loves his ego. See? He thinks, well, you know, it took God a long time to figure that out. I knew it all along. He should love me because I'm so wonderful. Right? Yeah? So that's not the thing that God loves. The thing that God loves is your alignment with who he is. That's where the love of God dwells, is when you get in line with who he is, who is your life. That's where love dwells. That's where non-judgment dwells. Non-judgment of everything. Everything. That takes being silent, in my mind. That's the call to silence. If we're struggling with what somebody's doing, or we're struggling, you know, with my workers, I had another situation come up last week that's pretty traumatic for one of our employees. And she couldn't go to sleep. She was so worried to tell me. And I promised I wouldn't tell anybody, so I'm not going to get specific, you know, because I said I promised I wouldn't tell anybody. But she was so worried, and she came in, and she was so shocked when I responded to her in love. When I said, well, I see you as a partner. I see you as a friend. And this isn't about the bottom line. So if I have to go through with the information she sent me, it's going to cost us about $7,000 or $8,000. That's why she was so uncomfortable with it, because she knew it. She knew that before she came to share with me the situation. Huh? Well, this is what's wrong with the corporate America. Is there's really no corporation. You know, to me, I've told them, you are the corporation. You young people. The corporation does have a personality. It's you. Because if you don't get excited about this, I'm just going to shut it down. You know, you need to get excited about this, okay? I can't get excited for everybody. You need to be excited about what we're doing and what we're doing together, and I promise it will reward you. That we're not going to die next to a pile of money somewhere, like Howard Hughes. But anyways, a lot of people would have been very upset about the information I heard. And probably 10 years ago, I would have been upset. But what do I want? What do I do? When I go in there, I want to have a relationship with these people. I want to enjoy them. I want to grow with them in what we're doing. And that's what we do. So when something comes to us that causes us to want to react, that's time to be still. It's time not to say anything. Mm-hmm. And wait for the Spirit to talk to you. Amen. Wait. Yes. And this, our Spirit will never talk to us in judgment. Ever. Never in condemnation. Never in accusation. Never challenging. Never challenges. Never questions. It's peaceable. The wisdom that comes from above is first peaceable. There's your roadmap. Then it's gentle. Then there's gentleness. So if there isn't peace and gentleness, to me it's best to be quiet. And I will, sometimes there's suffering going on, but I will do it alone. Within my own mind. That's what it means to lay down our life for our friends. Just lay it down. So I want to give you some tools on how to use these things, okay? We don't want to just talk about them in theory. How can we apply them in our daily lives? And I've got another really good litmus test for you here that's going to help you. On when you listen, what do you listen for? When you're going to be still, what are you going to wait for in your stillness? And so we're going to talk about that. So, to me, the two biggest things in understanding righteous judgment and overcoming the world is, one, that we understand what righteous judgment means to those around us. Our ego appreciates it for ourselves. The ego will say, yes, I like that. That's the ego. That's the ego. But Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say to love yourself first. He said love your neighbor as yourself. So your neighbor comes before yourself. right? And he said, what kind of friend do you have that a friend would lay down his life? I'm sort of butchering that passage, but we know what it is. I think it's in the epistles of John. But we lay down our ideas about anything that would have any kind of judgment. Any kind of judgment. We lay that down. That's coming from here. That's coming from the mind, the turmoil. Our own worldview. Because we'll look at something and say, that's not right. But that's coming from up here. Okay? That's not coming from a father that's judging the world in righteousness. And he's not withholding something. He is ahead of this outpouring of activity. He's already ahead of it all. That's why I said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end of everything you see in this world. And so he said, now time is fulfilled. Everything that you see happening in time and space is fulfilled and satisfied now. It's been satisfied. So we can enter in now to the kingdom where there's no judgment in this kingdom. So if you're looking at something and you're wanting to judge that thing, you've just turned around at the threshold and started to head back out. You've just done a 190 degree turn. Because you're not seeing righteous judgment. Right? So, this righteousness, understanding the righteous judgment of God, is called the armor of God. Many places. It says, wherefore, take you unto the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in an evil day. Now, the evil day is our temptation to judge the world. This temptation to judge the world. The whole armor of God. I'm going to tell you, it lines right up with what we just said. And then said, and done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You can take the breastplate of righteousness into any situation and come out smelling like a rose. Every situation. Can you judge the situation in righteousness? Can you? Or is it a challenge? Well, it's time to be still if it's a challenge. It's time to be still and know what this is. And then it calls, then it's interesting. It says after that, it says, having put on a breastplate of righteousness, then it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, the breastplate of righteousness and the gospel of peace are the same thing. Remember, the truth comes. I'm judging the world in righteousness. And then when we think God's just tolerating us and putting up with all our nonsense and said, well, you're only righteous by the hair of your chinny chin chin. You just barely got in. Then he says, I'm judging you in equity. I see great value in you. Whoa. And even when we've thought about ourselves at times when we're having pity parties, could we think that God sees us in equity when we found ourselves in some of the messes we've been in? How could God see me in equity when there's this big pile of junk? And God still sees me in equity? And he sees me righteous? That doesn't make sense. And so here we go. He says, and so after this, we see the kindness and love of God, our Savior, who has now appeared to all men. This kindness and love, this this righteous judgment that produces peace. The byproduct of it towards everyone is kindness and love, no matter what they're in. Does it matter what they're involved in? The byproduct of this is kindness and love. And in James you see the same thing. The wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceable, and then gentle. These are the roadmaps where you can tell if you're being successful, not in what you do, but in what you understand. Because you'll find your doings will get off track now and then. Because, I mean, I've looked at myself when I've went into some dither or something, and I'm my own spirit is sort of looking down and saying, what in the heck you doing, Nevins? You know better. You know this isn't the righteous judgment of God, or this is, you know, you hear that. You know right away when it's not in line with who you are. And it's not God judging you. It's your spirit of light saying, you know, this isn't in the light, Nevins. This is not light here. And I'm saying, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. And so I stop to wait for something. And I'll tell you what I stop and wait for. I'm going to give you another little secret. It's pretty cool, actually. So now, here in Corinthians, it talks about a word of truth and calls this the power of God. And we read earlier, it talked about the omnipotence of God dwelling within us. So the omnipotence of God and the power of God here is called the armor of righteousness. It's not a power over something. So we talked about that a couple months ago. God's not a power over something. His power is his declaration of righteous judgment over the earth. And here it says the same thing. It's the armor of righteousness, the armor of righteous judgment. It says, put that on the right hand and on the left. So in all your goings, go with this. Go with this understanding that God has declared everyone in the world righteous and without fault. And not only with that, with equity and value. So it's got to be something that exists outside of what we can see. Has to be. Because what we're seeing doesn't line up with that, does it? Doesn't line up. That's why it's called faith. So now, what's causing the turmoil? What's causing the death? When Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Judging by circumstances is what is killing you. Is what leads to a death realm of hell and destruction. It throws us into a place that where we can never be satisfied. We can never be satisfied there. So we need to stop trying to work with the world. We need to stop trying to bring peace to the world. Peace already dwells within your own heart. And it's all you're ever going to get, and it's all you're ever going to see. And it comes out from within you. These are those rivers of living water that he talked about in Revelation that will flow out from you. It is a peace, a forgiveness. And not just forgiveness and not just mercy, but even higher than that. Just non-judgment. Because we were talking about that too, that hope, mercy, these are all transitional terms to me. They're not the highest level where we come into fatherhood union, where we understand really that I and the Father are one. That I am in the Father and he is in me. Now, I don't want to be little children anymore. You know, and still struggling with the judgment of this world. I don't want to do that. So why is this happening? How many times have we, something come to us and something's been said to us and we say, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? What is it? Why are we going through this? I would say as soon as that thought comes to you about anything, to stop listening to it. To realize that it's just foolishness. Because nothing is happening to you. Nothing can happen to you. Nothing can change who you really are. Not a thing. But we go around in fear. Why is this happening? Look how this, look what's happening here. We've had another situation with the gal we love, you know, is going through. We had two or three things going on this last week, okay? You know, and anyways. So when we understand we're the offspring of the Father that only judges in righteousness, we realize what this means, that it will produce an atmosphere of loving kindness, not judgment. So this is what I wait for. Here's the key. Here's a big key. If you just remember this today, this will help you. When I find myself in a difficult situation, or what I call, to me, temptation is a temptation to judge, not a temptation to smoke or drink or all those peripheral things, but a temptation to judge unrighteously. That's what I see now. Or when I see a situation coming where I'm troubled or anxious or worried or waiting or wishing something would happen. This works almost every time. And what I do is, in my meditation, I begin to listen for thankfulness. I begin to wait for thankfulness. I just sit there. And I think, is there something I can be thankful for? To sort of break this curse. Break this dilemma. Break this negative energy.
In your life.
Right. I listen for thankfulness. I wait for thankfulness. You could look at it a different way. It's listening to a place deep within us that is satisfied in whatever state it finds itself in. So are we satisfied? Are we thankful for this person that seems to be dragging issues in front of me that tempts me? You know, this one person, you know, I just wanted to say, well, you've created your own hell, so I guess you got to live in it. Well, that's not going to encourage him, is it? Huh? Because that's really what's going on. They've got a dilemma and they're dragging it over into our pen. Could be our pig pen even. Their pig pen's trying to drag stuff into our pig pen. We say, ours is full. I don't want any of yours. Mine's full. I don't need no more manure in my pig pen. So to me, it's never safe to do anything. So I wait for thankfulness to arrive before I move forward. When that situation applies to that application, when thankfulness is needed, or satisfaction is needed, or peace. I wait for peace. I wait where there isn't any anxiousness. But I had a huge, just overwhelming feeling, just even yesterday again, about all of our anxiousness, all of our, most of our worry is tied to the old stopwatch. I'm going, wow, that's pretty big. Because if we're anxious, we think we're going to run out of time or something needs to happen now to relieve me of my dilemma I'm in. I've run into a lot of them. You know, sometimes we're talking to lawyers, and I mean, we had the state of Washington writing us, and they wanted some stuff. And then my brother and I, we came back from China last time, and we brought some purses and some watches with us, and we declared them. We declared them. We said, "Yeah, we got some watches and purses." Well, come to find out, they're counterfeit. They were counterfeit watches and purses. And my brother is so funny. He says, "Look, Mike, I got a really good deal on this Louis Vuitton purse." And I'm not into purses now, folks. I'm just telling you now. Don't. My brother is. It isn't me. Okay? So my brother drags me around there. "Look at this purse." And so he buys this Louis Vuitton purse. He said, "Mike, look at it. It's the real deal." Because it had a little piece of paper printed in there. It said, "It's the real deal." I said, "Well, Mark, don't you think the Chinese could print a paper that says it's a real deal, too?" And he said, no. "You should see when I paid for this." I said, "Okay." So we get in there, and we, the three of us, tell Customs and Border Protection, "Well, we got some watches and purses. We put it on all, because all of us brought a few back to give to our loved ones, you know. That was a good deal, you know. It's like $20 for a Louis Vuitton purse, you know. Wow, heck of a deal, you know." Well, this woman in the line realized we were brothers and realized all three of our things, said the same thing, and her antennas went up. "Hey, brothers, you come over here. You got to be inspected by the Homeland Security and Border Protection." These guys are strapping pieces now. These are officers, okay? So they drag us over there, and they start chewing us out, you know. And I'm saying, "Okay." I told the boy, I said, "Now listen, don't argue with these guys. Here's my brother who had spent most of his paycheck last week on this stuff." And he said, "I spent all my paycheck on this stuff. Can I have it?" You know, I said, "Mark, I'll give you your paycheck. Just be quiet, you know. This guy can club you over the head, you know." He was sort of agitating the situation a little bit. I just wanted to be quiet. Anyways, to make a long story short. So they said, "Well, this is of a commercial nature, okay? Now, you won't believe what happened. You want to talk about needing some depends." 2 weeks later, my brother gets in the mail a bill from Homeland Security and Border Protection for $293,000 and demands that it be paid in 30 days. $293,000. You want to talk about messing your pants? I almost want to say what Rex said, because that's appropriate, what Rex said.
On the purses.
On the watches and the purses. Yeah. They said that was the value of those had they been, if they were genuine. And there's a rule in there about that. So I don't want to get into the details of it all. You know, we could talk about that off the tape. The point is, stuff happens. Hello. Stuff happens. What do you do with all of it? We got, you know, we want to set and compare stories about who's got the biggest dilemma coming, you know. And the state of Washington's right and saying we got to pay all the sales tax because we haven't been collecting sales tax for like 5 years, you know, in the state, because they said we've established nexus. Well, we didn't know that. They want $100,000. And I'm going to borrow money from the bank. So when it rains, it pours, right? So what do I do with all that? Not a thing. Not a thing. I wait. So if you want to be anxious about some things, we can set and compare things to be anxious about, if you'd like. But I'm at perfect peace about all of it. I'm at perfect peace about all of it. Now, when I first got it, could I say I was at perfect peace? No. No. I wasn't at perfect peace. But I waited and listened to this inner voice. And when you're hearing the inner voice, it brings peace. And the question I asked myself is, what am I afraid of? That I'm going to run out of money? What am I afraid of? That I'm going to be out on the street with a cup and selling pencils? What is it? And I'm saying, within me it says, there's nothing to be afraid of. And so the next week, I just happened to share with our congressman, which who I have a connection with. They like hanging out with us when you win Manufacturer of the Year awards, right? I says, you know, I got this little thing going on with my brother. And I says, it seems pretty strange to me. And it just so happened, they have an officer that works with them that deals with these kinds of problems. And they shot off a letter into Borderlands Customs and Borderland Protection telling them how foolish they were. And it got dropped 2 days later. The whole thing. They didn't ask for a dime. So it went from $293,000 to zero overnight. Well, in between when I got that letter and when it went to zero, there was some trepidation. I'm not lying to you. There was some trepidation there. But it's all a puff of smoke. All of it's just a big puff of smoke, guys. It too will pass, whatever it is. And when we learn, when we begin to learn that time and space is the judge of all these things, right? Because in between this point in time and this point in time, I was in hell. And it was fairly short this time. I've had some, the generator one lasted a long time, and then had some that lasted a real long time. And so thank God it's getting shorter now when these things come. They don't last as long, right? Yeah. So they don't last as long. But there will be enough and to spare. There's enough and to spare. No matter where you find yourself, okay? There's enough and to spare. So in these situations, can we learn to dwell on something we're thankful for? Will it help us to get our minds off of these things? What can we think about that gets our minds off these things? Well, I always ask the Father. I say, Father, what's my problem? I don't say, what's your problem? I say, what's my problem? What's my problem? And it's usually, what am I afraid of? I usually say to him, I say, God, what is it I'm afraid of? Because the thing I think that's the problem ain't the problem. It's the what's happening there's never the problem. That's what I found out. It's always something behind it. It's some fear behind it that's the problem. It ain't the thing that's the problem. So we're running around trying to fix the things all the time, and we're bouncing from thing to thing. Thing to thing. And there's no fun. There's no life there. It's full of judgment. It's full of turmoil. And it isn't living. So don't think it's strange. That's what it says, what Scripture says. Don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange. There's nothing strange about it. In this world, we'll have tribulation. Don't think it's strange. Don't think we deserve better than our neighbor. Everybody's going through it. Everybody. But now we have tools to rise above it. Yes. We have the means, we have the understanding to rise above it. And it begins, to me, it begins with non-judgment. Okay? Begins with understanding. Even the people that think that they're trying to take advantage of us or whatever it is they're doing, what can they take? What is it that they can take? Huh? How much can they have? Well, they can line up right now and take on my $7.2 million in debt if they'd like. There isn't much else there. They've got every asset we own tied up in a knot and then put it in a safe and then in the bank. So it's three levels removed. I can't even touch it because I got this big loan. So do we build up treasures where moth and rust doth corrupt, where a man will come then and seize it? Is that what we do? Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but Paul said, I've learned how to live with and without. I've learned the secret to life, he said. We talked about it last time. To be content in whatever state I find myself in.
Amen.
Listening for thankfulness. Waiting for contentment. And then it can be fun. Even the things that might look difficult can be enjoyable. If we're doing it from a state of contentment and thankfulness. Even the difficult things. And it's funny to sit and watch how some of these things unravel. Now, my brother thinks I'm just a friggin' miracle worker, you know, because I just happened to be talking to Washington at the congressman's office to this guy about another issue, of course. We'll be here all day if I told you about all of them, okay? See, I don't have a lot of choice. I got about 8 or 9 or 10. We got 11, maybe 12 deals going. What do you do? I can't even think about them all at once. That's probably good. Usually, sometimes when it's just one, it just eats you up. But I got to go up and pick my poison right now, you know, with the dilemmas. And they just all disappear, and then there's some more. You know, there's this 11, and there's that 9, and it's down to 2. I said, oh, God's blessing me. Now it's down to 2. It's all an illusion, guys. It's all just an illusion. It really is. I'm glad you can laugh about it. I love hearing her laugh when we listen to these tapes. So fun. Thank you for coming, Jocelyn.
It's all an illusion.
We're on our way out, guys, okay? All right, I'm telling you. We're on our way out. We're together for a reason. And the stuff you're going to hear when we get together in July is just unbelievable. It's going to take you higher. We're going to start to get like jet fuel in our backpacks, okay? Yeah, it is good. It's good. We're starting to talk to about it a little bit, okay? But how can we live in the things we're talking about? How can we live there every day and know that we've went through a door? I know I've went through a door last week that'll never shut again. I'm just telling you, I know it. And I'm hoping that I can take you with me. That's what I'd like to do, okay? But I sat and laughed too, just like Jocelyn did, about these 11 or 12 things. And what's so funny is they've piled up as big as they've ever been in my whole life, and then Diane and I are at each other's heels like little terriers. All right before I started speaking this week. It always happens the week that we're going to share, okay, by the way. That's when it happens, okay? Which I just start giggling because I know something's good's right around all that noise. There's something really good behind all that noise, okay? So I say, bring it on. The noisier, the better, you know? Because the more noise it is, usually the better it is. Yeah, so I'm almost sort of running towards it now. Looking for trouble, you know? Anyways, waiting for contentment to come when judgment leaves the mind of appearances. What do we see? What are we looking at? What are we waiting for? Are we enjoying the promise that's been made to us? Where we're looking for new heavens and new earths? Or are we just looking to get this one problem out of 11 solved? Okay? What am I waiting for? It says here to look and wait for a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Righteousness. Understanding that nothing's out of order. Nothing can touch you. Nothing can touch who you are. Okay, so why don't we just be still for a little bit.